And the children are excused. Okay, last week we were in the first verse or first chapter of the book of Acts, and today we're going to start off with the second chapter. Our theme is, what is so special about the day of Pentecost? And in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we read this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as a spirit gave them utterance. Last Sunday was the day that some people call Pentecost Sunday. It comes 50 days after the day that Jesus rose from the dead. That day is the day that the church received its power to minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone gathered here this morning, I hope, has been baptized with the Holy Ghost. I hope he is living in your hearts. Because if he is not, you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ. It's either one way or the other. It's not in between. There's no gray areas. You either have him or you do not have him. And in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, it tells us, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's coming a day where everyone who has ever received Jesus Christ as Savior will have their bodies raised from the grave, and they will live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever he's at, that's where we will be. Last week, I apologized for making some assumptions that were erroneous. I'd based the ministry here at Coastal Shores upon some of those erroneous assumptions. And so I asked the church to forgive me and let me go back to where I might have caused some confusion. And some of you have admitted that I had caused some confusion. And so I'm going to try and do a better job of defining what should have been presented in a more practical way. I want to start by saying that there is no such thing as a perfect church. As long as there is one live human being in a church, it is no longer perfect. Now, the churches that have their doors closed, they're perfect. Because there's nobody there. But if there is somebody present, I believe that we have a good and faithful church at Coastal Shores, and I believe we have a good church family. This church has not always been known as Coastal Shores. There was a time when it was known as Harvest Baptist Church. And the church was led by several different pastors. And so there is a church history. Church histories do not really matter. They do not matter. What has happened in the past is past. And that's where it belongs, is past. The Lord gives us the ability to forgive and forget past history. What I want to make ultimately clear is that the things that happened in the past have no consequence to any of us, no matter when nor what. So there is no profitability in going back over any of the church history. God has provided principles in His Word to deal with the history. The history of any church, and this church in particular, is only meaningful regarding the future. Future ministry of a church, and if it's scriptural and based upon the Word of God, and not what some man says, not what I say, not what anyone else says. Whatever goes on in this church must come from this book, because this is perfect, and it's the only thing that is. This morning, we want to consider the value of our church ministry to the kingdom of God and the ministry done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of you are ministering at one time or another. Every one of you are talking to people. Every one of you have a reputation. People know you come to church. They know you're part of a church. So if we're going to think about the future, we must include what Jesus told the disciples just before He left this earth, of what is the job of the church. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came and spake unto His disciples, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because you have been given the power of God." You are the ones this is addressed to. I'm part of that. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And there you have the commission that God has given every one of you. God has given you that commission. It's the commission, same commission for Coastal Shores Baptist Church. And it was given to each one of us by God Himself. I pastored my first church in 1971. Its name was Pleasant Grove Baptist Church of Plant City. So I've been pastoring on and off for over 50 years. There are some things that I have learned in the classroom and some things that I have learned by observation. And one of the more important things that I have observed in several situations is that God has created a couple of laws that work consistently. The first law is the law of sowing and reaping. We find that in Galatians 6, 6 through 10. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So I'm going to be kind to every one of you. I hope you'll be kind to me. What is our purpose for being at 8310 Dorchester Road? We're here to worship God and to sow the seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is our expectation as a result of the sowing? Why, it's souls, of course. We don't seem to see a lot of those around here lately, other than our own. That means one of two things. Either we are not sowing the gospel, and I know that we are, so it means that the ground is not very fertile. How can we, you and I, enrich the soil? I know some of our people pray. We can enrich the soil by prayer. I've heard some of you pray on Wednesday nights. I know that others have signed up to pray on Monday starting at midnight. Not very many. I don't know if you've seen the new list out there. If you would be willing to pray, please sign the list. I think there's only three or four names on there right now, and it's 24 hours. It would be even more effective if we had enough people to sign up so we could pray around the clock. That was the intention. There's another way that we can sow more seed, and that would be through supporting missionaries. We have missionaries. You can see their letters in the hallway. Most of the churches that are struggling financially today are not investing what the Lord provides in outreach. They think that they need to keep what the Lord provides for their own use, and so the Lord has no reason to bless them because they're keeping it for themselves. So they struggle right out of business. This church was doing that at one time, but we took to heart the sowing and reaping law that God gave us in His Word. And we began sowing by supporting missionaries that wanted to serve the Lord in different parts of the world. They wanted to serve Him in a spiritual way, and God began to entrust more and more to us. Guess what happened? We invested in more and more missionaries. And as we invested in missionaries, folks, the Lord blessed us even more. The Lord is the one who is providing for the missionaries. Now, He might be providing through us, but it's actually Him who's doing the providing. A lot of churches support missionaries with a program they call Faith Promise. What that is involves spending time on your spiritual needs, talking to the Lord and asking Him what He would have you give. What He would have you give. Not anybody else. It's just between you and the Lord. When God tells you how much that is, you may have a major heart attack. Or at least you'll swallow your gum if you're chewing gum. Because it's going to be more than you think you can afford. But that is the whole part of faith promise. You are asking God to give that to you so you can give it back to Him. That is faith promise. That's why it's called faith promise. You promise that if He will give it to you, you will give it back to Him. And if He doesn't give it to you, you don't have to give it to Him because He hasn't given it to you. It's been some time since I talked about in detail about faith promise. And let me share a verse with you to keep you awake at night, tonight, maybe tomorrow night, maybe the night after that. Just depends on when you get on your spiritual knees and talk to God about it. And He gives you an answer. Actually, there are three verses that explain the whole thing. Malachi 3, 10 through 12. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me, test me. And see now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Have you tried the Lord? Have you challenged Him? Saying, Lord, how much would you have me give you back? He will give you an answer. Now you might say, wait a minute, that's Old Testament, isn't it? Yes, it is. And it's also a promise from God to His people. And you are His people, aren't you? So it is a promise to you. I tried God one time to see if He would keep His promise, and He did. You ought to try Him. Just try Him. One time. When I tried Him that one time, I quit tithing. I quit tithing because I don't want to just get by with the tithe. I want to give Him back what He's asking for. And it's going to be a lot more than a tithe. He kept His promise. And I haven't tithed since then. I probably will never tithe again. Folks, it is a joy. And I would like you to experience this of God giving to you in ways you've never anticipated, ways you've never experienced, taking care of you. Part of that is faith. Part of that is trusting God to do what He has said He will do. And you know what? It doesn't make any sense to us. It doesn't. But God will keep His word. He'll keep His word. Oh, the motive shouldn't be to get rich. But you see, See if you can outgive him. Set aside a month. You talk to God. You talk to God as an individual. And you, I'm not going to say deal with him or dicker with him, but you talk to God and you accept his challenge that he has written down in his word. And you see if he keeps his promise. Now, it's been years here at the church since we've talked in detail about faith promise. Years ago, several of us here at the church agreed to try God, and so we pledged a faith promise amount. And those who did have seen God more than faithful. Anybody here can complain about what God has done? Someone brought it to my attention that I was requesting some actions that I had not built a foundation for. And I would like to, this morning, admit that they were right, but I would like for each of you to take the time to ask God what he wants from you. We all have the ability to give more. There are things that we want. There are things we desire. There are things that we are saving up for. Could God use that? Would God use that? Would God challenge you, any of you, to help out his ministry? I've been asking you to do some things that you probably did not understand or couldn't do because I had not given you the purpose behind the action. Again, I'm sorry. That was my fault. After the individual explained to me what I was doing, I thought about it for a first time, and the individual was right. 2 years ago, the deacons and I suggested, I mentioned this last week, the deacons and I suggested increasing our missions by 50%, and everyone was in agreement, but I had not explained the double purpose behind the action. Since then, as a church, we have been struggling with our missions giving. The missionaries have gotten their money every month, because if it did not come in the faith promise, we took it out of the general fund. And we have been faithful to each of our missionaries, and there is no fault, no chance of a fault right now. You folks were not at fault. I was. Because I didn't go about the issue properly or explain it to you. I would like to challenge you this morning that you consider getting involved just between you and God. Just between you and God, not between me or the church or anybody else. Each of you is an individual. Between you and God, come to an agreement. God, what would you like me to do? Now, don't ask the question if you're not willing to answer. Because he may place a number on you. And if he does, if he gives you an answer, then he is going to answer that for you. If you will do what he has said. Now, there's a lot of things that go on in church that you folks never get to be a part of. For example, when we have a good offering, the men, well, Lacey's here, AB's not here, but my question every time I see a good offering is, I wonder what's going to go wrong now. And you may respond the same way, because God provides for you in advance before something happens. Folks, it's a great blessing. It is a great blessing to get involved in a Faith Promise program. You will not lose by it. You may think, I don't see how it can work. I don't see how it can happen. God is faithful. He's been faithful to you up to now. You're still here. You have what you need. You have more than you need. And it's God who is providing it. And God wants to challenge you. He has given you an opportunity. Try me, he says. Test me. See if I won't do what I have promised I'm going to do. And when you do that, you watch. Write down somewhere, preferably in a manual or notebook or a log of some kind, you write down what you are praying about. You write down God's answer. And then every time that God answers physically, you write it down. And you will see at the end of a year what God has done. And you will want to get more involved. So God has a chance to do more through you. At the end of this year, we hope as a church to be able to take on more missionaries. We've already got a bunch. But we would like to take on some more to be able to reach out further into this world. And some of you are going to be given a chance to actually serve as a missionary for a short time. There's a man coming in July, and his last name is Milton. Brother Milton will be here in July. He is going to share with you the ministry that his mission has to send people everywhere in the world. And you can be one of those people. I don't care how old you are, what your talents are. You may be a dishwasher. Who knows? They need dishwashers when they send out a team of people. Somebody's got to help. But you will actually be out there as a missionary. And folks, I have never seen anyone go out as a missionary whose heart God doesn't get a hold of. And you will want to be a missionary, even if it's just supporting missions. God wants you, and I want to see you challenged by God, and I want to see you challenge God, test him and see if he will not keep his word with you. The missionaries that we have right now get their money every month. But I think if you will go out there and see what they are facing, that you will become more involved. This morning, I'm trying to start explaining and sharing with you what's been going on in the past. This church is taking on more and more missionaries. We're making it possible for people to go to the field and serve God in the place they have been called to. And they are called. You're called also. God has put a call on you. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it involves. But you will find that once you get on your knees, you will become aware of that call. And you will also become aware of an opportunity to respond. I'm going to try and not make any more erroneous assumptions. I'm going to try and get more into detail about the opportunities that God places before us, because he is placing opportunities in front of us. Being a Christian is not supposed to be a drag. It is not supposed to be something that is unhappy. It's supposed to be exciting. And it can be very exciting if we have all the necessary knowledge about how God goes about this. And God wants to communicate with you. God loves you. He wants you to enjoy the ride you're taking. And I assure you, it's going to be a very spectacular place when we all get there. Wouldn't it be great to come to the end of our life and be with all of our loved ones, the people we love, the people we know, the people who have been faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the day I look forward to. Father, we thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for being a loving God, a gracious God, a generous God. Father, we know you love us. We know you want to use us. Help us, Father, to serve you according to your will and not our own convenience. Father, help us to serve you the way you want, according to your will. And we will praise you, Father. Call some folks out of this group to be your temporary ministries and missionaries. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, all the things you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.